Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Hypertension or high blood pressure increases the risk of heart disease, but for some patients, this hypertension is quite resistant to treatment and requires some very special help. Well, joining us this morning to tell us more about this problem and what you need to know about it is Dr. Apoorv Khanna, an assistant professor of medicine in the Division of Nephrology and the director of the Resistant Hypertension Clinic at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Khanna. Thanks for coming in today. Well, how common is hypertension, first of all?
Hypertension is actually the commonest medical condition that doctors see in the United States. And the estimates are that as many as 65 to 70 million people in the United States suffer from hypertension.
Which is high blood pressure, basically, because
yes.
People may understand it that way. So it's very common. But why should we worry about hypertension?
So as people probably already know, hypertension has many serious consequences. Most common and what we really worry about are the effects of uncontrolled blood pressure on the heart. Uncontrolled high blood pressure also raises somebody's risk of stroke and of kidney disease and kidney failure.
How does it do that? I'm always curious. When we talk about hypertension, we're talking about the pressure of the blood going through the vessels. Yeah. What does it do?
So as when there is a high blood pressure, that is the heart pumps against that high blood pressure, that itself leads to a lot of strain in the heart. And that strain will, if you can sort of say, it leads to thickening of the heart muscle. And ultimately, at some point, that the heart can sort of fail to provide that blood flow going forward, which is what we could see as heart failure or congestive heart failure. In addition, the consequences are of high blood pressure in the vessels, in the circulation itself, can be that it can lead to bleeding in the brain or stroke. And also...
How does it do that? I'm curious.
Well, what we understand is that when there is high blood pressure, it can lead to sort of... one can, to simplify it, understand it as a weakening in the blood vessels in the brain, and when that blood comes in there with the high blood pressure, it can sort of cause small ruptures in the blood vessels and lead to bleeding. And also, another very feared complication of high blood pressure is that that high blood pressure by itself will damage the kidneys so that the kidneys stop filtering the blood that they do when they are working normally. And that, as the waste builds up in the blood, that's what we call kidney failure. And if it builds up to a very high or dangerous level, then the only answer for patients to stay alive then is on kidney dialysis.
Or a transplant,
or
if
a
they're lucky.
Transplant.
Yeah. So it seems to me that this constant pressure or high pressure of the blood pumping through the vessels causes damage to the vessels and all of this potential damage to some of the organs, like you said, the heart and the kidneys in that sense. Is that something that... I think I read somewhere it's pretty silent. In other words, you don't know that you have high blood pressure when it's happening?
Yes. So that remains an issue with high blood pressure. That is very much why it's called a silent killer. That unless the blood pressure, it's an emergency when the blood pressure is at very, very high levels, in the sense that people could have headaches, could have blurring of vision, but more commonly what we see in people is that they have high blood pressure. They have no real way of knowing that unless they measure their high blood pressure, measure the blood pressure themselves, or they go to their doctor's office and
so
they measure it.
So this constant damage can take place over years and years and years of not, if in fact you have high blood pressure and you don't know it. So let's talk about, there are some that are, you call resistant hypertension. I understand you run a clinic about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what makes it resistant? I mean, what do we mean when we say resistant hypertension?
So when we say resistant hypertension, the goal of treating blood pressure in most patients When we measure blood pressure, we measure two numbers on the blood pressure. There is a top number and a bottom number. And the goal of treating blood pressure is to bring that top number below 140 and bring the bottom number below 90. In people who have diabetes or have kidney disease, in fact, we want the number even lower, more so that the top number is under 130 and the bottom number is under 80. Now, most people need more than one medication to bring that blood pressure down and may need two or three medications to bring that blood pressure down to that number.
Let me just back up for a second. So we are lucky these days that we do have medicines that people can take that can most often control blood pressure.
Yes. In most cases, it does. But what we think is that in, say, every sixth patient or so that would mean that if we say that there are 65, 70 million people with high blood pressure, there are around, estimates are that around 15 million people where even if you use three medications at high dosages, even then you don't get those numbers down to where you want it to be. And those are the people we call as having resistant hypertension. Now, so this is actually a fairly common condition.
Is it really? Well, 15 million
15
people.
15 million.
That's true. So what are some of the, first of all, the risk factors for hypertension in general? I mean, what are some of the things that contribute to people having hypertension to begin with?
So a lot of it, of course, in hypertension or high blood pressure in general is that we're not completely clear as to what are the exact causes of it. But what we do know is that being overweight, being obese, having a diet with too much salt in it, things like that.
Smoking,
a lack of exercise has some effect in raising blood pressure. So all of these work together. But some of it may be genetic.
A family history.
Yes, a family history is very commonly seen.
So when you see people with resistant hypertension, what do you think the factors are that contribute to that?
Now, that itself, and that's where we're in the clinic are able to provide this help. What factors there are many different factors, and what in this setting at Upstate, we are able, because we have many different specialists that we work together with as a team, we can help identify the different causes predisposing somebody to resistant hypertension. So we help investigate what the cause is, and then obviously the treatment is based on the cause in that individual patient.
Well, give us some examples of things that might cause
it. So things that we commonly see, one could be obviously that we want to make sure that this high blood, this uncontrolled or resistant hypertension is in fact real, that it's not something that every time it's just measured in a doctor's office, the blood pressure is high, but outside a doctor's office or when the patient is more relaxed, the blood pressure is controlled.
And they call that white coat hypertension?
What we call white coat hypertension. So for this, we have this investigation available, what we call a 24-hour blood pressure monitor. And what that means is that rather than just measuring blood pressure in the doctor's office, we're able to put a small monitor on a patient. This is not anything invasive, that this is not, that it is going in their circulation. And the patient wears this monitor for 24 hours, even while they sleep. So obviously at that point, the patient is more relaxed. And we measure blood pressure over the course of 24 hours. And this gives us a very good sense, is this real or not? Now, if it is indeed confirmed that this high blood pressure is resistant, then the common things that can lead to it are things like somebody having sleep apnea, which is something which is common, is increasingly common, which we can help work up. Kidney disease itself can be a cause of resistant hypertension. And then there are hormonal problems like the adrenal gland, which is a gland in the body found near the kidneys, that if it's making too much hormone, can predispose to resistant hypertension.
In your clinic, basically, that's what you do. A patient will be referred generally from their primary care physician.
Yes.
You would hope they would come through their doctor.
Yes.
When the doctor finds that after they're using three drugs or more and they can't get this patient's hypertension under control, they can refer to your clinic. So then you go about this systematic diagnosis of what might be contributing to it and whether, in fact, it's real. Well, before we go on to that, how should somebody suspect that they might have resistant hypertension? Is it mainly the fact that the three drugs are not working?
Yes. So as I said, the goal on blood pressure measurement is to have a top number under 140, a bottom number under 90. And if the person is on three or more different medications, blood pressure is still not where their doctor wants it to be, they can then refer us, and we then, so it is largely a question of measuring and finding those high blood pressure numbers.
And do it consistently and properly, and they like to do it on two separate occasions, reading the blood, doing the levels so that they know that it's in fact accurate.
Yes. I mean, obviously, one cause that can be seen is that because this is something for which medications need to be taken lifelong, very often this is hard for patients. Obviously, there can be cases where the patient is not taking the blood pressure medication on a regular basis, and that's the cause. But if it is that the medication is being taken regularly, but still we don't have the numbers where we want it to be, that's when we can help.
So tell us again, they come to your clinic and you'll basically do a full evaluation to find out what the source of the problem is.
Yes. So what we like to do is that we like to work very much with the referring physician, can be the patient's family doctor, can be the patient's cardiologist or any other specialist. And we just want to be able to help find out the cause, make some recommendations, and then the patient's treatment is from there on managed by the referring physician. We send the patient back to the referring physician.
But you make specific recommendations.
Yes.
That might differ from what the other practitioner might have in their bag of tricks, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. So we would start, obviously, by talking to the patient, getting a very detailed history, doing an exam, and then go on to do testing as needed based on what the patient tells us what their history is.
So you might do medication diet modification, and you try to educate the patient.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
And then do you also offer follow-up?
Yes. So we will usually it will take more than one visit for the blood pressure, for us to find the cause. So we will see the patient as many times as is needed to bring the blood pressure down to goal. And at that point, we will make our recommendations to the referring physician. And at that point, the patient does not necessarily come back see us. But at any point, if the patient or the referring physician wants the help, they can refer the patient back to us.
Well, this is very, very helpful, and it sounds like your clinic is really spot on in helping people with resistant hypertension. Thank you so much for coming in. If a doctor or a patient wants to get more information, they can call Upstate Connect at 464-8668 to find out more about the clinic. My guest has been Dr. Apoorv Khanna, an assistant professor of medicine and nephrology and the director of the Resistant Hypertension Clinic at Upstate Medical University. We'll be right back right after this short break. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air.